You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from our guest speaker.
Well, God is doing a whole lot and has been doing a whole lot in this ministry for many, many years. We got a lot going on here, a whole lot going on. But you cannot read the Bible. You can't read Jesus. You can't even read Jesus' parting words without being very well aware that there's more to our walk with the Lord than us, me, ours, and what we're doing right here, and to heck with everybody else. You have to be missionary minded. You have to be all nations minded. And early in the ministry, be honest with you, Terry and I had some very bad experiences. Folks that we thought were really serving the Lord and doing stuff, and we'd go on the mission field and see them, and I don't know any other way to say it, but they were on a perpetual vacation, just sending some pictures back of some starving kids with flies flying around them, and they'd send those pictures back here, and everybody'd send them a bunch of money, and they were just having a big time surfing every day. And we just saw some of that. And it turned me off to missionaries. It turned me off to missions. It just turned me off, except for you can't be turned off and read the Bible. So I was in a really bad situation of not wanting to and know I needed to. So we were constantly looking for missionaries and what can our church do? What can we do to feed hungry people? What can we do to feed literally starving people? What can we do to house people that are sleeping in a cardboard box? What can we do to give people their only meal of the day? What is our part to do? And it was quite an event that led us to Honduras. And some of y'all have heard that story in detail, but it's quite a miraculous story, just supernatural, miraculous story, how I found myself in a white, beat-up old van riding across Honduras going to speak at a church, and a guy that I was with had invited this other guy to ride with us because he thought, you two are on the same page. And Alvin and I were in that van together, and there wasn't any question about it. In a minute, we were on the same page and just connected. And he had a heart for what we had a heart for. And he said, it's one thing to lead a little 11-year-old girl that's prostituting herself just to eat. It's one thing to lead her to the Lord and how wonderful that is. But if you don't teach her how to make a living some other way, she's in trouble. She's in trouble. And Alvin wanted to have sewing classes. He wanted to have schools. He wanted to have a welding class and a carpentry class. And said, you get a gang member off the street saved, but what's he going to do if he doesn't know how to make a living any other way besides selling drugs? And we want to teach him to do something. And man, just he and I just connected. And I knew the Lord had something for us. Alvin, I meant to ask you today, how many years ago was that? Is that 30 years ago? November of 99. Alvin's good with dates like that. One day I'm going to be like, November of 99. So somebody in math, 22 years ago. 22 years ago, we met, and this church, part of every dime that you have put in these baskets for the last 22 years, part of that goes to Honduras every single month. And it is. Amen. And I can tell you, many of us have been down there, and this is a superman. I'm a man that just is beyond my ability to communicate what a great man he is and what he's doing and the work that he's doing, the long hours, and I'm talking about the work that he's doing. And every penny we send down there, I feel good about. I feel good about it. And I know when we have a missionary report, a lot of folks stay home. I don't want to go to church and hear a missionary report. Well, you should. You should want to hear that. Well, first of all, Jesus told us to. Secondly, your money's going here, and I think it'd be wise if you knew where your money was going. And I think it's important that Alvin come here and give an account of what's going on down there. I think it's important for us to hear. I think it's important for him to share it with us. And I think it's important for you to be connected with our ministry there and be praying for his ministry, all the young men and women that work in that ministry, that he has led to the Lord out of prison and now come into his ministry as leaders. And that is important for you to know and for him to tell the number of kids that your money is feeding every day. So it's a real privilege and a real honor every year. Alvin comes in for our ministries conference. It starts tomorrow. You've been to every one of them, haven't you? 20 years? Hadn't missed one of them. This is our 20th year, and Alvin has never missed a one of these. And here he is, still serving the Lord, still doing what God's called him to do. Hadn't gotten offended by somebody and quit yet. He's still serving the Lord and still passing out sandwiches to hungry kids. Y'all welcome Alvin Anderson from Honduras. Glad you're here, man. Glad you're here.
Hey, good evening. God bless you, folks. I am honored again to be home. And I say that just about every year I come, because there are some folks that didn't know that this is my home. Okay, my home church is for meaning. Again, I just grateful to the Lord. Thank you, folks, for your standing with us. And I want to just go ahead and give you a report, and we'll just have you keep praying with us and so forth. I'm asked all the time, even when I'm down in Honduras, and much more since I've been up here, well, Alvin, how are things in Honduras? And the brother over here asked me that. And I just kind of give him, well, bedlam, organized confusion. That hadn't changed. But I want to say this, and it doesn't need to be said, you know it, but I want to say it because it goes along with the rest of the things that I want to say. There has never been a time in history where the church stands out, and the need to stand up and out as a church, part of the body of Christ, as a believer, has never been so prevalent before. I'll use the words of, you know, I know that being my home church, I already know that the theme for this year as a church is essential. It has never been so essential that we as a church, and the scriptures simply put it like this, let your light so shine, okay, that men will see your works and glorify your Father in heaven. It has never said let your government so shine, because that won't happen, that they will glorify God, see your works and glorify God. You know that that's never going to happen, right? In fact, it's the opposite way. So if the church will stand up and be the church, it will be so much easier to be the light. You know, if I put a candle up here now and lit it, a birthday candle, that light would look pale in the midst of all of these other lights that are here, right? But that little light would shine brightest if all the other lights go out. How dark is our world? More darker than it's ever been. How bright is your light? You may be the smallest of candles. I remember as a kid, there was this little tiny toothpick-sized candles. But even now, if we lit that size of candle up here and turn out all of these lights, that candle would literally light up a lot of this area. And we together, shining for Jesus, is what our purpose is. And as I face the things and see the things that's happening in Honduras, and again, when I'm asked, so what's going on in Honduras? The same chaos as always. And I will tell you, the more chaos, we don't like it, no. But the more chaos it gives us in Honduras as a part of the body of Christ to be more of what the church is supposed to be. Reaching out to people. Reaching out to people with the answer. And sometimes that answer comes across in a plate of food. Okay? I feel I would rather have a church give me a plate of food on a daily basis, a weekly basis, than have the government give it to me. It's not the job of the government. It's the job of the church. You understand me? And so that's how I feel about Honduras. We've always had chaos. I'm nervous up here, folks. Not up on the pulpit, but up here in the U.S. And I love my country, but I purposely bought my ticket to go home on the 19th. I love my country, but I don't want to get stuck here. Y'all got good pastors, good leaders, and great teaching. You know, and again, as I've told Pastor Tim 4+ years ago, when I walked out of that gas station with the newspaper, Trump wins, I heard this. President Trump is God's last opportunity for America to get it right. I was in Honduras when I said that. And as I'm walking through the glass doors of that gas station, I open the papers to begin reading while I'm walking. And I knew that we had a man that would do it. And more than ever, those 4 years have gone by and we don't know what's ahead. And America right now is in more uncertain times than it has ever been. And my heart and my prayers for my country and for you people, you know, is that God would work in not just your lives, but the church in a way that has never known. I don't want, let's just say if the church of America is like a rose, and it is said that you want to know the true fragrance of a rose, crush it. I don't want for America to be crushed before we know our true fragrance. We are God's children. Let's be God's children. We have a purpose. We have a voice. Okay? And again, I'm not exalting Honduras or exalting the ministry in Honduras, but we can't depend on the socialist government that's down there. We can't depend on the corrupt government that's there. 80% or more of Honduras knows, and they're standing or able to move ahead in life is because of the churches. Okay? And so as I just present to you a bit of the what's been happening in the last few months with us, just in some of the slides for those of you, again, that may just be seeing me for the first time. I am North American. You may not know that by my speech, okay? But been in missions ministry now for 41 years, in Christ for 43. And the last 25 years, this May, it will be 25 years of my wife and I living in Honduras. My wife is Nelly from Nicaragua. And we have two beautiful daughters, 24, 26. And so in Honduras, we're still being the church, being the light. We're providing, with your help, providing meals continually, providing education for, I was trying to even just think about it, it's still continually well over 700 kids daily. 5-6 days a week, providing food and education and direction for those children. We now have 4 strong congregations and a 5th one that is 5 congregations, but 4 in the city and 1 outside of the city on our boys' farm. So, you know, as you just see some of these slides, this is the way that the young ladies and men in the red shirts, they were kids years ago, whom have grown up in the ministry, have been discipled, okay, and they are now serving others. Many, many of our young people are reaching out to kids as they were reached out to. And we are able to function as a church, as a ministry that reaches out to kids, providing the meals, providing the education, providing direction because of your help. And that's fine. I think it's supposed to come from one member of the body of Christ to the other instead of government to government. Now, the government has its place. I'm not kicking government, okay? We know that. But, as I said earlier, in Honduras, we're seeing where the church is more needed than ever to make a difference. And that's what we're called for. And as we continue to minister in some of my other slides, we continue to minister on the streets. Sarah, I've known her for quite a few years. We go to the streets tonight. Our team, right now, 7:37, just finished Bible study and prayer meeting. Every Wednesday night, you folks are being prayed for. Finish up our service at 7. At 7:30, they leave to go to the streets, taking food and the gospel, playing soccer or whatever, to kids and teenagers that live on the street. Sarah gave her life to the Lord. I'm sorry, in the slide before that, she gave her life to the Lord that evening as she heard the gospel. We sent her to rehab, rehabilitation, and 2 months later, that's her smiling face there. How do we do all this? The church. The church. And I say church, us. You guys and us, okay? So now, when I saw Sarah here, this was about 2 months ago in the other slide, I was down in the city buying that rack there so my grandbaby wouldn't fall down our stairs at the house. And I was there talking to Sarah, who has her own cosmetic booth there in one of the streets of the city, doing exceptionally well. Okay? Thank you for helping to make a difference in Sarah's life. And she's helping to reach out to others. Okay, so as we go on, just, you know, we're still ministering in the Boys Juvenile Detention Center. Both these slides are of boys from the 18th Street Gang. They're in the prison. The COBRA, Special Police Forces, Task Forces, has a place there where they have housed the most dangerous teenage boys. Okay, there are 82 of them there. And they're teenagers. And so we continue to minister there. And as you see them with their heads bowed, coming in prayer as the word was preached to them. In the next slide, I think, one of the young men that gave their lives to the Lord during that time, to my left over here, Kevin, just turned 18, the 26th of December. Gave his life to Christ in boys' juvenile detention in May. Was released in September. And now he's fellowshipping with us. He's one of the boys. But the more interesting thing is, one of the young men that preached the gospel and led Kevin to the Lord, the one that's in the middle and standing at the gate there, because of, you know, COVID and stuff like that, the police, this was earlier on, they wouldn't allow us to mingle with the boys there, so we preached the gospel from up in this area and so forth. But Cesar, who is also to my, over to the right over here, standing with me in the church, came to us from the same juvenile detention center when he gave his life to Christ 9 years ago. When he went to jail for murder. Okay. He did his jail time. Got out. We sent him to another city to hide him out. 3 years ago. I mean, he'd been being discipled by us. We would go visit him in the other city. Even while he was in the juvenile detention. We run a discipleship program. We teach barber. We teach computers. You provide the computers. Your money has provided the clippers and everything that we use. But 3 years ago, I needed more help. I told him to come from the city where he was. The people that was looking for him to kill him were already dead. And he has been in the city working with us for the last 3.5 years. But also, to the left in the back is Jeffrey, whom had been a member of the MS-13 gang. Came out of the same juvenile detention center after hearing the gospel. He was the trigger man for the MS-13 gang. And he would not like for me to say that as a gang member in his teenage years, murdered 34 people during the course of 7 years in the gangs. Okay? I said, Kevin just turned 18 years old, the 26th of December. But 2 months before he went to prison, the police still don't know it. When he was captured, he was captured for weapons trafficking. I mean, they had a load of guns and stuff in the stolen pickup that they had. But the police had no idea that this young man, as he came to Christ and confessed to us, that 2 months before going to prison, he was involved in a massacre where he killed 11 people. This is the kind of people that we've got in our church. Want to come visit? But they're in Christ. This is what God is doing. The church. And you and us. So as just keep going there. Again, Kevin in church. We were presenting his baby. His baby dedication. I love the way that his hand is on the child's back. I didn't tell him to do that. Praying for his son. Okay. Keep going. Our boys' farm ministry is going great. We have a new couple, Milton and his wife, Sumata, are with us now. They are pastoring the church out at the boys' farm. If you'll go on to the next slide, we have carpenter classes for the boys. You can see Daniel and Fernando. They're learning skills that they did not have before. They come out to the farm as a hideout, but also if they come from a street life and giving their lives to the Lord, they come out to be with us on the farm, and they learn a skill, they learn trades and so forth, so that when they go back into the city, they have an education whereby they can make a living and not sell drugs and not be professional thieves. Yes, stealing is considered a profession in Central America. Okay, so in the next slide, as move along, we have a girls' home. Nati and Martha, the couple there, are the ones that our girls' home is in their house. My wife and I, over the last 25 years, we lost count at 388 kids, boys and girls, that have lived and came through our home. Martha and Nati has been with us now for 11 years. And Nati is learning English, by the way, Pastor Tim. He may be one of the ones that come with me. And they recycle tires, turn junk tires into furniture. And that's what Michelle, the young lady in the middle, who is in our girls' home, is doing. Painting in another one of the slides. I think just about it there. Okay, well, construction projects. Every time I come up here, there's another building or another slab. You know what that means to me? Growth. And Tim Brooks is my pastor. I can't help it from trying to be just like him. But we're growing. And so we've always got construction projects going on. And I think in the next slide, yes, just, you know, buildings almost done, some done, and a lot more to be done. One of the other slides, I think. Okay, general ministry. People ask me, well, what do you generally do down there? Are you kidding? You know, preach, teach, bury kids, you know, distribute food, rally the ministry. I mean, with all the projects that we've got going, jail ministry, 3 different juvenile detention centers, 5 congregations now, you know, children's ministry, preschool. I can't even remember them all, hospital ministry and so forth. But, and one of the things that we're always doing in our church, we, like I said, we pray for you folks every Wednesday night. But as each church breaks up into a weekly prayer group session, whether that's on Thursdays or Tuesdays, you're still being prayed for. But unanimously by 5 churches, you're being prayed for simultaneously every Wednesday evening. And so, again, general ministry for me, for us, and one of the other slides, rallying food together. As you see on the tables, that rice and beans, the beans in the darkest sacks, the rice in the clearest sacks, members of the church, that just didn't get on the table. We took your money and did what the church is supposed to do, feed the hunger. The government shut Honduras down too. Most of the people there are, you know, they go out, make tortillas, go out and sell the tortillas. But if you can't go out, they sell the tortillas and then turn that money into vegetables and food to bring home. If they can't go out, how do they eat? The church was a part of providing for them. The hurricane victims in the next line. We took 2 truckloads of food to one of the villages whereby 74 people were killed. And more than half of those were children. Washed away by the rivers and mudslides as houses Mountains came over on the top of their houses. The rivers flood through their houses and swept families away. That's why I went to that particular town. And I didn't know that the news media was going to be out there, but we were, okay? Running up and down on my motorcycle with baskets on the side. I was on my way that day to bury one of our 34-year-olds that were murdered because burglars came into his house, okay? And I got food in those baskets because everywhere you go, there are families out on the streets. You know, I mean, the cars are coming, but they're about, you know, 3 feet out in the street, intentionally trying to make the car slow down or stop to ask for money or food. I find that everywhere I go. So on my bike, whenever I go, I'm carrying food. Thank you for helping us to provide. Now, some people ask me, how do I keep my sanity? Just two or three more minutes, okay? How do you keep your sanity? I'm still wondering about that. But I know that as part of the body of Christ, I've got to be in tune with the Lord. And as leaders, we have to hear from God, what's your direction? And then, you know, that has to be a part of my life. Just real quick, Noah. Yes, I believe that the days and times that we're living in are worse than his because there are more people upon the earth. But just let me recap the story real quick. Noah lived in a time that was so wicked, full of violence, that God repented of making man. I can't help but as we in America are going over the billions of aborted children and the reckless and vile laws that are being passed, I know for a fact that God is not happy with the world, and I'm sad to say with America. But in the light of it all, I'll say again, it is a time that the church can stand out even brighter. Okay, if an employer has a hard time finding honest people, shouldn't they be able to go to the church and find perfectly honest people? Okay, so if the world is in chaos, marriages can't hold up, where should they find answers? People that has the book of books. Okay, that's us, folks. But look at Noah. God was about to destroy the earth, and he saw Noah as a just man, loved God, and he was raising his godly kids. In the midst of all of that darkness, there is hope, America. Stand up, Christians. So God told Noah, I'm done. I'm going to give him 120 years. Take 80 years to cut the wood, split the trees into lumber, 2x4s, 8x8s, whatever. Okay, and then take another 20 years for four men with ancient tools, primitive tools, to build the ark. Take another 20 years and farm to grow enough crops to provide for yourself and all the animals, 120 years. But I'm a carpenter, and then talking with others, there was about 3,300 board feet in the ark. I don't know how much your good lumber here is costing, but God told Noah, go for wood, okay? Wood with a lot of resin, and then put pitch inside and out. The estimated cost of the ark in modern day North American time would be $100 million. God gave Noah the instructions, but did he give him the bank card? So how was Noah to finance the building of the ark? He and his sons did it, and their wives? I don't know. Did they have to buy trees from somebody else's land? I don't know. But I know it wasn't cheap. Were they ridiculed while they did it? Did he ever get a splinter in his hand? I'm sure more than once. Was his sons would like to give up? Was his wife or his daughter-in-law's anything like Lot's wife or Job's wife? I don't know. But I know it wasn't easy, and it cost the man and his family. But they obeyed God. And you know what? It was for the saving of his house, but also for the savings of all those who would heed the message that he preached. Folks, you and I, to obey God, walk in what is essential, and obedience is essential, it's going to cost, and more so than ever. Okay? And it's not just for your own savings, but it's for the savings of others around you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yes, begin in Samaria and Judah and Jerusalem, but also in the world. So your salvation, your obedience to God is not just about your salvation. It is about the salvation of others. Whether it's here in America, in Honduras, the scripture says going into the world. Thank you for your part in what you're doing to help America here and help us in Honduras. God bless you. Amen.
You can be seated just one more moment. We are blessed to be a part, Alvin. We are blessed. I wish that you could know the conditions that Alvin has worked in and lived in. The people living in boxes. And we had a couple of boxes that we threw away today in the dumpster. And Alvin said, well, I wish I could get these two boxes home. That would be a home for two families. They were two cardboard boxes. It's just an amazing thing what he and his team are doing and what they're doing with the money that we're sending, the number of kids that they feed, the only meal that they get a day. So we're blessed. We're blessed to be a part of that. Just to let you know, Alvin put his wife on the back of the motorcycle and took her to the hospital to deliver one of their children. In labor, delivering a child on the back of a motorcycle. These are tough folks. These are tough folks. And they're in the trenches. The least we can do is be blessed to be a part of their ministry. Alvin comes each year at this time for our ministers' conference. I want our ushers to come up. We send money. You send money every single month. You send money every month. But while he's here, he needs some van parts and he needs some motorcycle parts, and there's things that he can get here that he can't get there. And we like to just put some money in his hand while he's here to run around and to gather up some things that he needs before he heads back. If you need to make out a check, you can just make it out to Christian Ministries, and Sean can add all that up and give Alvin one check made out to him. Or if you want to put cash in these baskets, you can do that. But every bit of this, not any of this coming to our church, every bit of this is going to Alvin. So whether you need to write a check or whether you want to give cash, however you want to do it. But I think it'd be important for us just to do a little more right now while Alvin is here. Father God, tonight, we as a church set ourselves in an agreement with the ministry and the work that Alvin is called to and that he's doing. Lord, I ask your continual physical protection on him as he works on those streets every single day. Your angels guard him and protect him. And Lord, we ask for financial help to continue to pour into this ministry to do what you have called all of us to do together there. Tonight, Lord, we invest in this ministry. In Jesus' name, we loose your angels on this ministry in Honduras. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.